This is Ozarks at Large. The Annie E. Casey Foundation is releasing its annual Kids Count data book today. The annual report looks at child well-being in the United States by analyzing factors like economics, health, education, and family and community. According to the new report, which analyzes data from 2018 to 2019, Arkansas's economic well-being ranking jumped from 46 to 34. Last week, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke with Rich Huddleston, Executive Director for Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, who provided analysis for this year's improved ranking.
I think it's mostly because we had relatively low unemployment. And then for whatever reason, we had fewer children living in households with a high housing cost burden. And you never know on some of this data if it's a one-year blip or if something else happened that year. Now I will say that even though that ranking improved, if you look at the percentage of kids living in poverty, that's still very problematic. And it's easy, I think, to look at that change in economic well-being, which I think was most responsible for our overall ranking improving one up to 39th from 40th. But if you really start to dig down on some of the data, like the poverty data, there are still some major issues for kids in the state.
I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that was something that I was thrown by when I saw it. The ranking had increased by so much. I mean, yes, that's a good thing, but I was so thrown because I know poverty numbers, for the numbers of children living in poverty, they're still high. Last summer, we specifically talked about the disparities among children of color living in poverty in the state. Have those numbers changed?
Well, unfortunately not. And I will say that the last few years, of course, this is prior to the pandemic, as you know, but the last few years, even though we've had relatively low unemployment, the poverty numbers have really remained steady between one-fifth and one-fourth of kids living in poverty. So that really has not changed much much in recent years, even with the better employment outlook. And of course, I think what that means is that a lot of the jobs being created and probably are not providing the incomes that we need to move families and kids out of poverty. Now, of course, as you know, in the 2019 data, we had 151,000 kids, or about 22% of the state's children continuing to live in poverty. And of course, you know, the research on child poverty is pretty clear. Children who live in poverty face more obstacles and face a tougher climb to success in life than their more affluent peers. And of course, child poverty does disproportionately impact Arkansas's children of color. In the most recent data, 39% of Black or African-American kids continue to live in poverty. And again, this is before the pandemic. And 25% of Hispanic or Latino kids live in poverty, compared to only 16% of white kids. And so there's a big disparity, 39% and 27% compared to 16% of white kids. Now, I think it's important to point out that this is not the fault of families of color. But, but I think the research is pretty clear, but it's the product of historical and current policies at all levels of government, such as school discipline policies that kind of help feed that school to prison pipeline, mass incarceration of Black men, healthcare policies and practices that we know hurt outcomes for people of color. Of course, in housing, we've had redlining practices forever that have kind of continued to lead to housing segregation. And then, of course, you still have the long-term effects of slavery. I mean, all those Jim Crow era laws. And I think even today, unfortunately, Arkansas's children of color are still feeling the effects of these policies, as they are much more likely to live in communities that lack access to resources that other kids may have, such as quality schools, healthy food options, accessible, reliable transportation, access to good health care. So this continues to be a major issue for Arkansas. And it's something we all should be concerned about, because if you're talking about basically one-fifth or one-fourth to one-fifth of the state's future workforce. I mean, think about what that means in terms of the ability of companies and the ability of our state to compete on economic development. because, again, the research is pretty clear. I mean, if you grow up in poverty, I mean, especially, I mean, if you spend long times in poverty, then you're much less likely to do well in education. I mean, you're much less likely to be able to compete for those better paying jobs in the future.
Another ranking that I noticed was Arkansas's health ranking. It fell from 40 to 41, so not terrible. But the statistic that stood out to me is the number of children in Arkansas without health insurance. It rose from 34,000 in 2018 to 43,000 in 2019. And that was the third straight year of an increase with this number. Is there any indication of what's causing this increase? And is it a trend that's specific to Arkansas?
I mean, we do have some theories about what caused it. I mean, I will say that, you know, that if you look at that increase on a percentage basis, we basically had a 43% increase in our number of uninsured kids. And that was one of the largest increases in the country. And it's especially problematic because because for years, we've been on a positive trend in terms of reducing, our number of uninsured kids. And now we have this really big jump. And based on the 2019 data, our uninsured rate is now almost 6%, which is up from our low of just 4% in 2016. And in terms of the reasons why, a couple things. Of course, for immigrant kids during the Trump administration, there was a major issue in terms of the public charge mandate coming down from the federal government, and that we think had a really chilling effect in terms of discouraging immigrant families from applying for public benefit programs like Access to Our Kids. And so we think that had a major impact. We've never thought the state has done as much outreach as they need to do around Our Kids. And then I will say that back in 2018, 2019, we were having major issues with the Arkansas Works program, which again is not a kids program. It's a health insurance program for uninsured low-income adults, but we know that there's a strong relationship between where parents lose coverage, and oftentimes that has an impact on coverage for their kids. Even though it's a different program, either they don't keep their kids in Our Kids, or when it's time for kids to re-up for Our Kids, you know, the parents no longer think they're eligible because of what happened to them on the adult side. And so we think because of those three factors, those are the most likely reasons why.
The thing I think most people are interested in right now is exactly how the pandemic is having an impact on children and families. And while this particular report doesn't cover that, I understand the Annie E. Casey Foundation did do sort of a special survey that they released, I think, in December. Can you tell me what you found out there in terms of what's happening in Arkansas more like now? So I guess like in 2020.
Yeah. And there's a more recent update for the states than what Casey's even going to release next week. I mean, based on data has recently last month, the data was showing that more than 30% of our Kansans are still having difficulty covering their basic household expenses. 30% is a huge number. And the data also shows from that same survey that almost a third of renters in Arkansas are unsure if they'll be able to afford their rent next month. And so we know that if you have economic security like this going on in families, that does filter down and hurt the kids as well, obviously, economically. But there's also what's gone on in the schools over the past year. We know that in some areas there have been large numbers of kids who have fallen off the rolls in terms of going to school, and I think nearly every expert that we talk to think in education that there are certain groups of students like special education students, students of color, English language learners, who have likely lost ground compared to their peers during the pandemic over the past year. And that, of course, has long-term implications for poverty as well, not just education. And so we know the last year has been really, really tough on low-income families, families of color. And quite frankly, if it wasn't for the support coming down from the federal level, who knows what would have happened to these families? Because again, I think the support coming down from the federal level, in the short term at least, really saved a lot of these families.
As you mentioned, these issues that are happening right now can have devastating long-term effects. So what are some immediate steps that either your organization or other organizations can take to help keep some of those things from going on longer than they need to, and then the impact of that on down the line?
Sure. Well, of course, I think the single biggest thing that could be done to cut child poverty, at least, is to encourage our federal lawmakers to make the recent temporary expansion to the child tax credit permanent. You know, I think this would be the single best thing that could be done to cut child poverty in Arkansas. Just based on this most recent temporary expansion of the credit, we know that the lives of almost 94% of Arkansas children, about 660,000 children, will be improved by doing this, including lifting 48,000 Arkansas kids out of poverty because of this temporary expansion of the child tax credit. Now, because it's temporary, once that temporary credit ends, you know, then many of these kids will fall back into poverty. But it wasn't just those 48,000. The data suggests that another 46,000 maybe weren't lifted out of poverty, but their family incomes were definitely improved. And so we know that this temporary expansion of the child tax credit has been huge. Well, the federal government needs to make it permanent, and Arkansas lawmakers need to push for that for sure. Now, I think here at the state level, the single biggest thing coming up this fall will be what to do about Arkansas's billion-dollar budget surplus. Now, what lawmakers are currently talking about, and which I think they're going to do, is to come back later this year to cut personal income taxes. And that's going to be a policy, quite frankly, that's going to disproportionately benefit the state's wealthiest taxpayers, who have already seen huge tax cuts as a result of the 2017 federal Trump tax cuts. I mean, we strongly encourage our Arkansas lawmakers, when they come back this fall, to quite frankly resist that temptation, or at the very least scale it back. And I think what they need to be more focused on doing, rather than cutting taxes for the wealthy, quite frankly, is again to do what the research and data tell us would be in the best interest of Arkansas children and families. You know, because what you do around the state budget, funding kids' programs, quite frankly, is a major reflection of what your society values. I mean, again, basically, it's a moral blueprint. Now, the billion-dollar surplus, one of the reasons why it's been why it's so big, isn't just because of the economy in Arkansas, but it's been, quite frankly, because we've had overly conservative budgeting practices for the last decade that have really led to major underfunding, in some cases, no funding for key investments in kids. So, just to name a few examples. Flat funding for quality pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds, flat funding for the juvenile justice system, lack of investment in state support for the state early childhood workforce, which has really been struggling the last 6 years. Little to no state investment in the birth to three early childhood system that serves our youngest kids. The failure to fund quality out of school programs. And of course, just at the tax cut level, Arkansas is in the minority of states now that does not have an earned income tax credit that would really help low-income working families who are struggling to make ends meet. And so, again, we strongly encourage Arkansas lawmakers that when they come back in the fall to scale back whatever the tax cut they're planning, and to really think about how they can use the budget surplus to make investments in kids.
That was Rich Huddleston, Executive Director for Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda last week. This year's report is available at aecf.org/databook. And I need to point out, my wife, Laura Kellums, is the director of the Northwest Arkansas Office of Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. And I had nothing to do with the assignment or the editing of this piece. This is Ozarks at Large.